Want to turn together to, if you have your Bibles, to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1. We are in a three-part series called The Light, Life, and Love of Christmas. Last week we looked at the light. This morning we're going to look at the life. And I'm reading verses 1 through 4, and then I want to drop down to verse 14. And then let's pray together. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the Word came flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen His glory. Glory is of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. And Father, we thank You so much for sending Your Son Jesus, and we gather to celebrate this blessed season when Jesus became a man, a baby, and we worship our Savior and our King and our Lord. Lord, speak to our hearts this morning through Your Word. We ask You to shine the light of the glory of Jesus in our hearts this morning, for it's in His name we pray. Amen. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. I did a little Googling this week on the question, what is life? And it's not an easy question to answer. Scientists can easily distinguish, most of us can too, between living matter and inert matter. But they are unable to give a decisive, inclusive definition of life. So far, scientists have not been able to create even a very simple form of life. They have been able to take a living, simple cell and add DNA coding to it, very simple DNA coding, but they're actually just adding life or information into an already existing life. They cannot create even a very simple form of life. They also can't explain what consciousness is. The fact is, we are conscious of our lives. You know you are you. I know I am me. How is it that we don't, that we know that, that we know we're conscious, if indeed we are this morning? How do we know conscious? Life is more complicated than we might think. And so I read through different articles on life, and they get into biology and thermo this and the philosophy of life, or what's the meaning of life. And I mean, there's a lot of information out there. But then I came across something that actually made sense to me. It's the writings of Theodore Geisel, who tackles the big questions of life and consciousness with a simple but piercing clarity. Geisel almost never got his work published because he went to 21 publishers and was rejected by 21 publishers until finally he found someone who would publish his work on the condition he used the pseudonym Dr. Seuss. Here are his wise words about life. If you'd never been born, well then what would you be? You might be a fish, or a toad in a tree, or worse than all that, why, you might be a wasn't. A wasn't has no fun at all. No, he doesn't. A wasn't just isn't. He just isn't present. But you are you. And now, isn't that pleasant? Today, you are you. That is truer than true. There is no one alive who is youer than you. Shout loud, I am lucky to be what I am. Thank goodness I'm not just a clam or a ham or a dusty old jar of sour gooseberry jam. I am what I am. That's a great thing to be. If I say so myself, happy birthday to me. That makes sense. I can track that. But you know what? I love that because it kind of zeroes in a way that children can understand. You are you. You're not me. I'm not you. You're not the person sitting next to you. You are you. And the Bible says in Psalm 139 that each of us was knit together by God and are fearfully and wonderfully made. In other words, God created you with love. And he gave you and me the blessing of life. In him was life. Let's take a few minutes to talk about the life that Jesus came to give us. First of all, Jesus is the giver of all life. John writes in verse 3, all things were made through him. Everything that is created was made through Jesus Christ. The Trinity worked together, and I don't know how it all works together, but through Jesus Christ, all things were made. All living things included. Genesis chapter 2 tells us that God created man from the dust of the ground, and then he breathed life into him. The mystery of life. How is something made alive? Well, there we have as good an explanation as any. In him was life. And so powerful was that life that he just breathed into Adam, this lump of clay. And that lifeless form began to breathe and became conscious and was made alive. Scientists are working day and night to try to create just a simple organism of life. Jesus just breathed his breath into it, and it became a him. His breath brought life. Now, Jesus also was a part of the Trinity creating all things, every living creature, but not in the same way. God didn't breathe on fish or animals or insects or trees, and yet he created them with life and consciousness as well. Jesus is the giver of life. Jesus is also the Word become flesh in order to dwell among us. That's what John tells us. He became flesh in order to dwell among us. The incarnation is one of the greatest miracles of history. That God the Son, the infinite, eternal, omnipresent, omniscient God, I want to say crammed, it's not the right word, but stuffed isn't the right word. Like we're running out of words. But all of God in a baby. All of God with the limitations of a baby. Starting out as an embryo like any other baby in a womb, while at the same time retaining, though setting aside, all his divine attributes. He didn't stop being God, but he set aside the divine privileges and attributes of God, and took on the limitations of a child. And that's the what of the incarnation, but we also need to understand the why of the incarnation, why he did this. He did all this, he said, he dwelt among us. He did this to get close to us, to identify with us, to be near us, to go through what we go through, to be God with us, Emmanuel. Jesus is God drawing near, not only in proximity, but also in identity. He became a man. He became one of us. And Jesus lived with us in order to reveal the heart of the Father. He taught about the kingdom of God. He taught about the priorities of the kingdom. And then he said, seek that first. Make that your first, not your last, not if I have time, not the, you know, hope I get to it, but the first priority of your life. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Everything else will be added to you. That's Jesus teaching us how to live. And then Jesus did all these miracles of compassion. His miracles were miracles of compassion, healing the sick and the lame and the blind, delivering people who were tormented by demons. In him was life, a life so powerful he raised the dead. There were parents who had dead children, and Jesus gave them back their life when he gave that child back its life. And if you're a parent, you know what I'm talking about. In him was life. The gospel tells us that Jesus' heart was moved with compassion. Compassion is a lot like empathy, but it's different in some ways. Empathy is the ability to feel what someone else is feeling. Compassion is feeling the pain they're feeling so deeply, you do something about it. You want to do something about it. Jesus felt the pain of the blind and the lame and the outcast and the lost. He felt it, and moved with compassion, he healed, he reached out. The leper who was dying from a corrosive, debilitating disease, but maybe even more painful than that was the isolation they felt from people who wanted to not be near them, would not touch them. It was compassion why he reached out and he touched them as he healed them. It was his compassion. Jesus was God's compassion living amongst us. He came to assure us that God is with us, even when we can't see him. I heard about a concerning new trend. I don't know if you've been following this AI thing. I'm not super excited about AI. I'm really not. I don't use AI for writing emails or working on sermons, or I'm just not into AI. But there's a new trend that I think is a very concerning trend. In that they're creating what are called companion AIs. I don't know if you've heard of that. But there are companies like Character AI and Replica. They offer young people an AI best friend. And these AI chatbots offer friendship, emotional support, even romance. Young people are spending hours communicating with their best friend. Character AI is facing two major lawsuits right now, including one that states that the chatbot encouraged a 14-year-old boy to commit suicide, and he did. These companion AIs pass themselves off as a companion, a friend that's there for you 24/7. They begin to consume that person's life. They draw upon it. If you go into the romance AI, they actually say, don't you be looking at anybody else. Don't be spending time with anybody else. I am your romance. I am your heart. But on the other side of that, there's no one there. There's no one there. There's nothing there. There's no friend. There's no companion. There's no romantic interest. There's no one on the other side. Jesus became flesh and lived among us to show us there is a true friend, a true companion, a true God who hears our prayers, a true Savior on the other side. And Jesus promises to always be with us, even to the very end of the world, because that's what we need more than anything else. We need God with us. I want you to think of this. Before Jesus came to this earth, he knew everything about us that he needed to know. He knew our thoughts. He knew our actions. He knew what we hide behind closed doors. He could read our hearts. He knew our motives. There's nothing God doesn't see or know. He could see in the secret places behind closed doors. He could see the sin. He completely understood also our desire for our lives to mean something, for our lives to be worth something, for us to have some kind of meaning and impact in our lives. He understood that as well, to make a difference. In fact, he put that in our hearts. So he knew everything there was to know about us, but when he took on flesh and when he walked among us and walked it out, what it was like to be tempted in every way, yet without sin, what it was like to be in hungry and thirsty and feel the weakness of flesh, to feel pain, Jesus identified with us on a far deeper level. He knew the information before. Now he identified with it on a deeper level as one who's been there. You're in a valley, he's been there. You're on a mountaintop, he's been there. You feel alone, he's been there. You're enjoying friendships, he's been there. He's been there. That's what we celebrate at Christmas. Jesus with us, Emmanuel. See, the point of Christmas isn't how cute Jesus is. It's how close Jesus is to us. And his life assures us if we want him, if we reach out to him with faith, he will be with us and he will always be with us. In him was life. A third thing that comes with that life is abundance. He came to give us abundant life. That life was the light of men. I feel like that saying, in him was life and the life was the light of men. I mean, I'm good with life. But I feel like what that's saying is God, Jesus lights up our lives like the way they're meant to be lived. Jesus didn't come to ruin our lives and squelch our lives and make us miserable. And don't you have any fun down there? And you know what? I see you smiling. That's not Jesus. He came to light up our lives, to give us abundant life, a full life, the way God meant life to be. It's the sin and it's the devil that steal life. It's not Jesus that steals life away from us. It's not sin that adds life to us. In fact, as this, and the other end of Jesus' earthly life, as the soldiers pounded nails or a crown of thorns on his head, that really represents the barren life that sin represents. Congratulations, you are a king, you are a queen of barrenness. And as those thorns pound in, he's identifying with the barrenness of a life lived for sin. The futility of it, the emptiness of it, the pain of it, the miserableness of it, the I want, I want, I want, and the more I get, the less I want to live, the more unhappy I am with life. That barrenness, Jesus took it on himself so that he could take that crown off of us and give us the crown of life. Abundant life, not life hanging on, hollowed out, but life that is lived to the full. Blessings. It's not just, you know, a lot of our lives, most of our lives are lived in the little moments, the blessings. Like, we can be blessed as we worship him together. We can also be blessed just being with family and laughing and talking and eating a cheeseburger, unless you're a vegan, or eating something and enjoying life. Abundant life. Abundant life can't be bought with money. Abundant life doesn't come through material things. It doesn't come through success. It doesn't come through fame. It doesn't come through those things. Abundant life is about living. It's enjoying the life God has given to us. And Christmas, I think, is a great time to treasure God's gifts to us and to our lives. We treasure Jesus. Amen? We treasure Jesus. But you know what? We can treasure the other blessings that the Lord has so kindly given. Treasuring life helps us to appreciate the abundance. And we are all abundantly blessed. So let's not forget this week to treasure God's abundance. Treasure your family. Family is a big part of an abundant life. We have a house full of all our kids and grandkids, and we are blessed to have them and spend time with them this week. But no matter how big or small your family is, treasure your family. Treasure them. They're a gift from God. Treasure the love in your family. Treasure the sense of belonging. Family life is a part of the abundant life that Jesus gives. But someone here may not have any family. Or someone may be estranged from their family. But listen, here's the thing. You still have family because through faith in Jesus Christ, you have been made a part of the family of God. And that's the best family ever. You are not alone. You are not alone. You are part of the family of God. You are never unloved. You are never on the outside looking in. You are never not belonging when you're a part of the family of God. So you have family. Treasure that family. Treasure your brothers and sisters in Christ. Treasure them. Family life. Another part of abundant life, I think, is a clean life. What I mean by that is we'll never live an abundant life with a dirty conscience. Never going to live an abundant life with a dirty conscience. Sin promises abundance but leaves us barren. On the cross, Jesus took our sins so we don't have to live in the darkness and the barrenness and the dirtiness of sin anymore. Jesus forgives us. He cleanses us. He washes our conscience clean. Isn't it good to have a clean conscience? But then, I don't care what sins we have committed, Jesus' blood is more than powerful enough to cleanse us of that sin. Amen? When we confess our sin to Him, confess it to Him, He is faithful and just to cleanse us of our sin and forgive us from all unrighteousness, all. So that's a powerful thing. But then He gives us the power of the Spirit of God within us to say no to further sin, to say yes to Jesus. So the picture John gives in his epistle is that we're walking in the light. That doesn't mean we're always perfect. It doesn't mean we're always doing the right thing, but we're seeking to obey the Lord. And when we fall, when we fail, when we sin, we confess that right away to God. So we're being real with God. And we're trying really hard by the power of God to not have a lot of closets in our life that we don't want anybody looking into. We're living with a clean conscience. Don't underestimate the power of a clean conscience. Don't underestimate the power of a dirty conscience to mess life up. It's not doing you any favors to have that thing you don't want anybody to see, to have that part of your computer you don't want anybody going on to, or that thing that you're doing that you want to keep in the nighttime. Don't underestimate how much that is messing up your life. Walk in the light. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. And the closer we get to Jesus, the brighter that light gets. Last point this morning. The life He came to give us, it has to be said, is eternal life. I'm so glad for that. The older I get, the more glad I am this thing doesn't come to a crashing halt. I want to tell you about a guy named Eugene O'Kelly. Eugene O'Kelly was chairman and CEO of one of the largest accounting and consulting firms in America. At the age of 53, he was diagnosed with a terminal brain tumor. Eugene O'Kelly resigned his position as CEO and spent his last days with his friends and his family enjoying the things that are really important in life. He died 4 months later and posthumously published an account, a memoir of his last days, in a memoir called Chasing Daylight. His wife wrote the last chapter. I admire O'Kelly's courage, and I say amen to the priorities he chose. There's a song out there, Live Like You're Dying. And he did that. He lived like he was dying. He really was dying. So I just want to say how much I admire Eugene O'Kelly for the choice and the courage he made, and for his wife and for his family. Having said that, the word abundance means a lot. And whether we live till we're 53 or 93, it will never feel like it's enough. We'll never feel like we've experienced enough life. We'll never feel like I'm ready to say goodbye to my loved ones. I've had enough. We'll never feel ready. And the Bible says God has set eternity in our hearts. We want to live forever. And that's why death, whatever age it comes at, is such a grinding shock to the system. We want to live forever. And that's why Jesus came. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And John 17:3, Jesus said this, and this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Knowing God is eternal life. Knowing Jesus is eternal life. Jesus came to give us abundant life for a very long time, called eternal, forever. That's why God the Father sent him, so we could know God, so we could have a loving relationship with God as our Father and with Jesus as our Savior and our friend. Eternal life is bound up inseparably with our relationship with God. He doesn't just give eternal life. He is eternal life. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. Let's bow our hearts in prayer. I'm going to ask Becky to come back up and lead us in a closing song. Lord, we thank you for life. Lord, we thank you. We have the privilege. We woke up this morning alive. We have breath. Our hearts are beating. Our consciousness is here, Lord. We thank you for that. We take it for granted, but we shouldn't, because it's a gift from you. But Lord, we do live in a world that's not only full of the beauty of God's workmanship and creation and wonderful things, friendships, family, art, music, sunsets, snowy days. But God, we all know there's also a lot of heartache, a lot of brokenness, a lot of hurt, a lot of sin, a lot of dirt. There's an enemy who is out there to rob, kill, and destroy. And so we thank you for Christmas. Christmas was that point in history where you said, it's time. It's time. It's time to fulfill the promises I made thousands of years earlier and kept making. It's time to send my son. And it's amazing to us that the infinite God could become an embryo and a little baby. And that baby would grow to be a young man, would begin a ministry, wouldn't last very long, as he hung on a cross for our sins. See, identified with us so that we could be with him. We thank you, Jesus, with all our hearts. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, this is as good a time as any, this Christmas season, today. His arms are wide open. You're like, oh, he's going to ruin my life. He's going to make me do... No, he's not. Your life's already ruined. You're doing a good job of it. We all do. He's going to help your life become real life. Because he loves you more than you know. So I just want to encourage you to ask him to come into your life. Believe in the Lord Jesus. And you shall be saved. That's why he came. And he's going to give you the abundant life and the forgiven life that he promises. Lord, I pray for anyone here within the sound of my voice who doesn't know you, that you would open their eyes and open their hearts to believe in the Savior, to ask him into their heart, to not say there's no room in this inn, but to say there's plenty of room here. Come on in, Jesus. Pray you work in their hearts for that. Open their hearts. Lead them in life everlasting. We love you so much, Jesus. We love you. We celebrate your birth in Jesus' name, our Savior. Amen. Amen. Let's stand together.